Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in today. And today we have two guests joining us, Micah Branson and Lauren Arbogast. How are you all doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Glad to be in the same room.
Yeah, it's great to be at the table with you all today. And just looking forward to the conversation that we're going to have. What are we talking about, Grayson?
Well, if you heard last week's program, Pastor Margaret and I talked about Epiphany. And so we just thought that that was such a good conversation and a good conversation to extend and also have some guests, Micah and Lauren, join us to talk about that. So that's what we're going to be kind of part two, not really part two, but an extended conversation on that.
We're hoping to have some epiphanies today, right? Well, it is so awesome to have you all at the table. Thanks for being here. And yeah, we talked last week about Epiphany, and it just really has been on my heart. Like, as we watched the scripture unfold at Christmas, where the wise men are, they take their journey and they're faithful in that, and they see Jesus. They were changed by that encounter, and their eyes were opened to truth and to the truth. And so, you know, I think there's this opportunity that we have to live in this lifestyle. It's what I'm looking at 2026 of, you know, just having that mind of Christ. Maybe that's what it is, right? But where we're seeking him. I love in Jeremiah 29:11, we know what that says. God says, I have plans for you and a hope. And it goes on as you get into 14. It says, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And so just having that seeking mindset, heart posture of seeking the Lord in 2026. And so I thought it'd be great to have you all come in and talk about, first, just what are your thoughts on Epiphany? Like, when you say the word Epiphany, when you think about Epiphany Sunday, what does that mean to you all?
I've got this is Micah speaking, not Lauren. I'm going to bare my soul and say that when Lauren told me the topic, I said, can you define that word?
I had to do research too.
I like that. I like digging in.
I love it.
Figuring out. I'd heard the word. I know the concept.
Yeah.
But what does it actually mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, I had to go dig myself. And I think that's what our pastor asked. What does God want from you in this Christmas season? What gift? And I think that gift is to seek him. Mm-hmm. And so I love when somebody gives me a challenge or sends me in a direction. And it sent me right to Romans this morning, 10:8, but the faith righteousness we receive speaks to us in these words of Moses. God's living message is very close to you, as close as your own heart beating in your chest, and as near as the tongue in your mouth. Some of the most beautiful parts of scripture for me are the ones that say, it is written on your heart, and then bringing it to life. And so I started to write down the epiphanies that God had shared with me over the years. And the common theme that I noticed is that God was speaking to me in times when I was probably at my lowest or at the end of myself or my ability to continue on without just letting go of the reins and trusting in him.
That's good. I went more like a dictionary. I mean, just looking up, like, what does the word epiphany mean first? You know, and it's a realization, a revelation, an awakening, like an aha moment is what, you know, Webster's will tell you. But when you look at it with a biblical view, it says it's from Greek, like for a manifestation or an appearance. And some of the commentary said that like the early celebrations honored any or all of the four manifestations of Christ, which they said was the birth of Christ, the Magi's visit, Jesus's baptism and then his first miracle at when he changed water into wine at Cana. And it said like instances where God was made real, like the Son of God, the Son of Man, but he was real. He was like manifested and shown to people around him. And so I found that really interesting because I didn't know that. I know about Epiphany Sunday. I know that the wise men, you know, the Magi came later and, you know, they were the first of like kind of the Gentiles to see him and stuff. And so it was an aha moment for non-Israelites. Yeah. But then to dig into that, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool to think about it as different revelations. And then like what you just said, Micah, like revelations of how we see him and continue to see him.
And as you are talking, this word just keeps coming to my mind, and the word is worship. Because when we see these things, when we have these epiphanies like the wise men, it should bring us to a place of worship. Mm-hmm. You know, that is, because I'm thinking back in those instances you were talking about, they were all glory to God, right? Like that it didn't draw people to earthly things. It drew them and their attention upward.
As I went further in Romans 10 this morning, it said in verse 20, and Isaiah the fearless prophet dared to declare, those who found me weren't even seeking me. I manifested myself before those who weren't even asking to know me. My son just asked me what the word manifesting meant. I mean, like a week ago. And so now from what Lauren said, I'm going to go home with this beautiful biblical answer. And I found that when my children stump me, they ask me a lot of what this or that means. I love God tends to reveal it in a biblical sense to me in the following weeks. I can't usually answer it right up front, but the manifesting of himself to the Gentiles. And in verse 21, it goes on to say, yet regarding Israel, Isaiah says, with love, I have held out my hands day after day, offering myself to this unbelieving and stubborn people. And I think that when I have been following my own way is when I get to the end of myself and God's manifestation of himself is more apparent to you.
Yeah. And it says that people that weren't seeking him found him. Well, he seeks those that aren't seeking him.
Yeah. Right.
Kind of reminds me of me. I wasn't looking.
I really wasn't.
In the beginning.
But he showed up.
But his words are there written on your heart.
Yeah. It's so important to have the Word of God as a child, you know, that foundation. That's a gift at any age to have God's Word as a foundation in our life. But yeah, so true.
Even without someone who does not grow up in a Christian home. Mm-hmm. I did, so I'm not speaking from personal experience, but from friends who their experience with Christianity or Christians is the people they come in contact with as an adult. And so, like, back to your original point, Margaret, like, it is incredibly important for us as Christians. We don't get it right. We're, like, we're fallen people. There's sin in the world. I constantly have to ask for forgiveness and repent. But God has placed us in this zip code, on these acres, mm-hmm. in that space, in this friendship, in that friendship, in that checkout line, literally, for a reason. His love is to share that the manifestation of him and the appearance of him.
Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Uh-huh. Right? Yeah. Yeah. I was looking, and I found, like, three things when I was digging into Epiphany again. And the first was that, like, with Epiphany, we open our hearts to receive revelation from God. So, like, that's on us. What are we doing to palms up? Like, what are we doing to invite God in? And then we need to be present with those around us in their seasons of life, like I was just talking about. And then we must reveal the reason of our hope and celebrate the Epiphany of God in our lives. I don't know. Just, like, it, all three of those, like, came together for me this morning. And like Philippians that says, like, you'll shine like stars to those around you when you hold onto the word of life. Mm-hmm. So God in you, the hope in you, yeah. Hope of glory. But you got to share it. Yeah. It's going to be a dark world if we just hold it inside.
And it tends to bubble over. And it doesn't mean that we're perfect. I mean, you were talking earlier about the sin in the world and like what comes out of me. Sometimes I've had to apologize to my own children. a lot. But there is the recognition there of what that is, and a sackcloth and ashes type of response to that sin, after what is written on your heart is coming to life because God continues to reveal himself to you. When I got my definition part of Epiphany and some of the stuff Lawrence just talked about and I read over, I was like, why am I the one talking about this? And I was like, I don't feel like God talks to me all the time. But when I started writing down the different places I had been and things that I clearly had felt him say to me, he's always revealing himself to me. It's just not always in the written word or spoken word. It might be in a bird song. It might be in this mountain that I saw. And I do notice those things. And I had a coworker last week. I sent her a sunrise behind my Christmas tree and told her what I'd been enjoying in the morning and how I'd been feeling God every single morning. She's like, you notice God in all the little things, and I want that. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I do. But we need these encouragers in life to say, hey, I see that in you. I see that you are hearing from God. And he's sending us love letters every day, you know, through a smell, a touch, a taste. I mean, it's there. We just don't always recognize the creator of it.
Sometimes my gait, that's a G-A-I-T, is too fast. And I think it's just the scripture, be still and know that I'm God. Like, Michael, when you talk about getting to the end of yourself, and that's where you tend to have those places. And that, to me, that's like in that place of surrender. Like, you know, I can't do this. Oh, God, I need you to do it. And he shows up in those places in beautiful ways. And, you know, the other thing that I'm just thinking about is when we come together to have a conversation like this, and Lauren, you say something and it speaks to Micah, it speaks to me, it speaks to Grace. Like, this is so important that we have
this community. Is an epiphany in itself. Like, as believers coming together, we're encouraging each other, we're strengthening each other, we're digging in, we're questioning, we're allowed to say, wait, what do you mean by that? And how does that look in, what does that look like in your life? I would, you know.
Yeah. God, I think, uses other believers in our lives, or maybe he uses us in other people's lives to speak stuff that we didn't think of. He speaks to each of us differently, reveals things to us differently. And by sharing those, we strengthen each other.
You're talking about gait, Margaret, and we just finished, as a small group, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. Mm-hmm. So a study on that. And it had some great principles overall, just talking about, you know, like silence and solitude and getting back to Sabbath and slowing down. Great things from a, like, first world country perspective, living in a Western world. But then I also was reading something by Levi Lusco this morning. He said, you know, possibly in a Christian culture, Western culture, that's saying, whoa, slow down, focus, you know. He says that's not bad, but also are we missing the holy urgency of reaching out to other people around us, being present to other people around us because we're too focused on slowing down? Or what do we need right now in this moment? And we've missed the holy urgency of we are here for others. Like, we are a royal priesthood and we are here to serve others. And so we can be tired for God. That's okay.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of hurry, that holy urgency is okay.
Yeah.
To be those epiphany moments and to, you know, Christ through us.
That's good.
So I had this picture from this morning's quiet time in my mind. I was sitting in a chair next to my kids, like, little tiny nativity scene, right? That's been on the floor and the pieces are everywhere and they're playing with it, you know. And literally every piece of it around Jesus in the stable is knocked down or turned away from the baby Jesus.
Mm. Ooh, that'll preach.
And then there's an angel on top that is proclaiming the beauty and the light that you can actually see hitting the manger. And I looked at that this morning and was like, all the things of the world, all the things of the world that are, you know, screaming at, you know, pulling your attention away from that. And you don't have to be still or quiet to see it, but to have people around you, to be in a community to say, hey, I saw God in this today. Even the practice of writing it down. Last night there was a question. It was like, what's 10 ways in which you saw God today? I'm like, interesting that I'm studying Epiphany and that's the question that comes out of my very behind devotional for Advent. But, you know, just the practice of writing down how you saw God working today. When we do, you know, lay with our kids at night I used to ask the question, how do you see God working today? And some of the answers that I get from that childlike perspective remind me why we're to have a childlike faith, because I don't see it the way that they do.
And I think we are expecting epiphany in the big moments in life. You know, what's this grand epiphany when it's really the mundane, the everyday, looking for, seeking, not missing moments in the hallway at work or in a classroom, or wherever it is that we reside in, like, I think it was you, Lauren, that said, in the grocery store, in the grocery line. Like, how different would the world be if all believers walked with an epiphany expectation?
Or simply with a Christ mindset.
Right. Yeah. Same, right?
Same. Yeah, yeah, same. Yeah. Splitting hairs really over.
Right, but, right.
Yeah.
He's coming.
And, you know, I think that it can be in that grocery store line. It can be those moments. But I think another part of it is we all have things in our life, brokenness, hard things. And sometimes we don't want to share those things because it's hard. And we don't really want anybody to know what we have going on. But in vulnerability, being able to, when God opens a door, not just throwing it out there anywhere, but when God opens a door for a conversation where we've had brokenness and maybe we're still on a journey or we've had healing in that area, I think about we're broken vessels, right? And when we allow God to heal us on our journey, the light shines through those broken places and can become an epiphany for someone else that needs that same healing. And around the church sometimes we just say, how are you? And somebody, and they say, well, I'm fine, right?
I'm great.
Yeah.
And Micah, and I don't know, it's probably been what, since 2000, I was trying to look back to when I first read the book that had the question in it, how's your soul?
Yeah.
It's been a lot of years ago.
That question has stood the test of time. It's a good one to ask people.
It is.
They don't text you back immediately. I'm just going to tell you that. I don't text back immediately when I get that question.
I don't either.
But it is a good one to make you stop and think, you know, where am I at? What is my purpose? You know, let me think about why my soul is here.
Right. But I think those are even moments where God opens our eyes to what's going on in our own life. Because sometimes when someone asks me that question, I go, oh, wait, what's happening? You know, like it's moments of real awareness of like, oh, shoot.
We don't need a State of the Union. We need a State of the Soul address.
Right. Or that somebody laid it on your heart to ask that question of another person.
Uh-huh.
You're like, how are you really? Like, I see you. And I know that it's hard. And if you don't want to talk about it, it's fine. Yeah. You'll talk about it when you're ready to. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I had scripture in 1 Peter. You went to Romans, I went to 1 Peter. It's 1 Peter 4, starts in verse 7 and goes through verse 11. So 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, it's talking about living for God, and it says, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, and each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So like you guys said, like, we're all different. Grayson, I think you said we're all different. Like, how God shines through us. It says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
And I think that's the whole idea of epiphany. It points to the glory of God.
Yeah. I just love Peter. Because he said love covers a multitude of sins, because he had lots of sins of the tongue, as do I, you know?
He was a bit rapid, and I can relate.
I can relate, you know? My tongue got ahead of my heart and my didn't wait on the epiphany to come.
Yeah, I mean, Peter used his tongue for good and for bad, you know? In one sentence, the Lord's telling him, you're the rock. I'll build my church on you. And the next, like, sentence or a few sentences later, it's like, get away from me, Satan. And he wasn't really calling Peter Satan, but he realized that Satan was, when he was questioning Jesus and how he was going to die, and how he's like, so, but
we are human.
Yeah, neither was Peter speaking in the good from himself or the bad. I think the Holy Spirit was speaking through him, and Jesus even said that, like, my Father revealed that to you when he was speaking the truth, saying, who do you say I am? Well, you're the Son of God. Certainly, Jesus proved himself as the Son of God while they were on earth. But even when he proves himself, we still need him to speak through us.
And if those who were closest to him and walked with him intimately over his time in ministry on earth, how much more 2,000 years later do we need? We need Jesus, but we have to seek. It's not just going to blanket us. Yeah. Like, it is an act of worship, an act of seeking.
And, you know, we tend to, as humans, seek more, like Micah said, when we're at the end of ourselves, right? Like, I want to have a heart of seeking him in the good and the bad, on the good days and the bad days, and be aware that I live in this tent on this earth. Won't be here forever, but what are the things that I need to lift my head? And I think, Micah, you have the book, A Thousand Gifts. Is that right? Is that what you have laying
that's
there?
That's not the one I have laying here, but yeah, that's the one that sent me on that journey to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast where the author of that book, and her name is just...
Ann Voskamp.
Ann Voskamp, yeah. Just last week, I was listening to this podcast and speaking of gratitude. She speaks a lot on that subject, which I really think that epiphany and gratitude, it all kind of goes together. And she made this comment, and this might be another whole podcast, but that it's hard to be entitled and have gratitude. Mm-hmm. And so, again, this is, as I think about this journey of epiphany, to me it has a, I want to see the Lord. I don't want to miss what he has for me. I pray that he reveals himself in my life, but also that he would use me to help others. Desire to seek him, there's this difference of living with this heart of seeking, of having gratitude, that so flies in the face of having a life of entitlement. I'm God's child, but it's more of a servant mentality.
A towel and wash basin approach to life.
Yeah.
I'm here for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd written that down too. I hadn't heard it from a podcast, but that entitlement, I don't remember where I heard it or read it, maybe somewhere. But if you feel entitled, you lose all sense of gratitude because you feel like it's yours for the taking.
And I think gratitude is being thankful of things that we're not expecting, and entitlement is maybe an expect or think we've deserved it or earned it somehow, mm-hmm. as opposed to being a free gift.
Yeah. It reminds me of, it was said earlier that we must become as little children, right? Seeking with that attitude, not to get anything for us. Entitlement means I want it, right? But I read over and over that this is about for God's glory. This is the basin and the towel. It's a heart posture of realizing, being grateful for what God has done for me, that, you know, Jesus gave his life for me, that the Holy Spirit would come and take up residence in this housing is crazy.
Well, and that's coming from a place of it's already done.
Yeah.
Right?
And right.
You believe on the finished work on the cross. The book I'm in over here is The Greatest Gift. And I read this from Ann Voskamp's reading the other night. You don't need to climb mountains named I Will Perform. You don't need to climb mountains named I Will Produce. Every mountain that every Christian ever faces, the Lord levels with sufficient grace.
Mm.
The Lord will provide. And that was speaking right out of Genesis, from Abraham's answer to Isaac's question. He's going to sacrifice his only son. The son says, where's the sacrifice? And he just says, the Lord will provide. That type of obedience comes from a place of knowing it's already done. Mm-hmm. And that was prior to Christ's sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The epiphany of it's already done. Mm-hmm. I was challenged recently to pray as if it was already done. Mm-hmm. And those prayers, this is already taken care of, provides a sense of peace, and writing them down as if they're already done And I did it just for a little while and was able to talk with a friend recently. And we chatted about, you know, like where she was 6 months ago, where she is today. And I said, I prayed into that like it was already done. And it has been done.
Wow. Yeah.
And the peace that she has today is a beautiful testament to God, trusting in God to provide, even when it looks hopeless. Because it did 6 months ago.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's deep.
That is deep. It reminds me of what I pulled it out from the David Platt's Radical book, but it's condensing his words. But it's basically like, make much of God in the way you tell the story. And I just think, Micah, about like how your life and your obedience and praying as if it had been done was speaking to you, but it was also 6 months later speaking to this friend, and then it's speaking to us here around the table. It's going to speak to listeners when this airs. And so it's almost like epiphanies have a ripple effect, you know, when when you think of like God revealing and then sharing that testimony, it has ripple effect, and it allows others to experience God and experience their own epiphany.
And it's, again, it doesn't have to be in the great, huge moments. It's in, like, Brother Lawrence, you know, washing dishes and God showing up in his life. And it's a thousand little things, maybe not one huge thing, but I don't know. It's never hit me like it's hit me this year. It's a lifestyle of seeking him.
Kind of to pull it back around, like, thinking about the Magi, because this is where this all kind of originates, right? Like, Feast of Kings, I think, is called on January 6th, or, like, the Day of Epiphany, to commemorate the Magi coming to see Jesus. Can you imagine the conversations in that caravan as they journeyed back a different way, but they journeyed back to their homeland? Like, I can't even fathom. But the fact that they, regardless of their history or how they knew, or, you know, the reality is that God revealed in some way for them to come to Bethlehem. And he revealed that to Gentiles, like we said, like non-Israelite people. And then what they took back to their homeland. And then just thinking about that as like a prime ground for then missionaries later from the church that came back to that area. And yet passed down through the ages, they'd already heard of this Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, my brain just starts thinking about, like, God was planting seeds long before the first missionaries from the traditional region of, you know, where Jesus was born and Jesus's ministry. He was planting seeds. Like, that's just wild for me to think about. But
yeah, and then you just see, and he continues. But for them to be able to look back and go, oh, that's what that was.
You know, I've been thinking about stumps
that's
a lot
tapestry
lately.
Right there.
Tree stumps.
You've been thinking about tree stumps.
Tree stumps.
Okay.
Yeah. Because what you're talking about is a tree stump that's chopped off that has a new growth. Mm-hmm. And the remnant, God leaves a remnant, and it will always be there to prevail and bring his word. And those are the seeds. And we're a part of that.
Yeah. It's wild for such a time as this. Yeah. Us sitting around this table and those listening,
thousands,
everybody else that's not listening, like, we've been put here for such a time as this. Like, we go, what's going on? Well, what's my role? My role is to seek him. And, you know, we are not perfect human beings and we all struggle, but we are overcomers because he has overcome the world. And it gives me a heart of gratitude. And like the wise men, what did they do? They worshiped.
They worshiped. Yeah. And they were given revelation.
Yeah. It wasn't just they sang. They worshiped. They worshiped. They worshiped the King. They worshiped Jesus. And it was a heart posture.
Yeah.
And so this gives me hope.
And worship is not just singing. It's a lifestyle, like we've said.
It is a lifestyle. It's a heart posture.
Well, it's been a great conversation today. Micah and Lauren, thank you for joining us today. It's been great to have you both.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as Pastor Margaret and I have talked with Lauren Arbogast and Micah Branson today on this idea of epiphany and a lifestyle of epiphany, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.